I was reading the news this morning, and I saw a story, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but it was about the elevator in the Peace Tower at Parliament Hill breaking down. So there were a group of visitors there who were going up for a tour of the Peace Tower, and were stuck in this elevator for an hour when it broke down. Turns out that this year, there have been 10 times when visitors have been stuck in that elevator when it's broken down. And it's broken down a total of 47 times this year. That's a lot of time for peace to be breaking down. But it's a pretty good metaphor, isn't it? For our own desire to approach peace and the ways that we get stuck again and again. And sometimes it seems just fine. We figure out what the most peaceful approach should be, and we enact it, and we get there to the top of that tower. And other times we realize, apparently, this elevator, part of the time, goes at an angle. So there's two different shafts. This makes it more complicated, just a little bit like our desire for peace can often be a little bit more complicated than we hope or we first imagine. And so we find ourselves getting stuck with that intention to reach new heights. And then the reality of being somewhere along the way, not knowing what else we can do to move further. So I'll invite you to hold on to that image as we think about peace this morning. Last week, those of you who were here might or might not remember that we spent time talking about hope. Hope is our first Sunday of Advent, and we spent a little bit of time talking about two different ways of thinking about hope. The first as passive hope, hope where we want something or long for something, and we think it's going to happen and we wait for its arrival. And the second as active hope, hope that is about our intention. Not expecting something's going to happen, not being caught up in whether an outcome is likely or not, but about our intention, our desire for transformation, and then the work that comes out of it. And this act of hope is grounded in the real world. It's not about sticking our head in the sand. It's not about pretending everything is fine, or even that everything eventually will be okay. But it's about doing the work anyway, living our lives, moving into hope. There's a similar idea to think about this week as we talk about peace. Because sometimes we think of peace as a state, a situation, a state of being. Peace is a place or a situation where there isn't war, where there isn't conflict, where people are getting along. And we think of it in terms of absence or stillness. What's not there, what's not happening. That as peace. Or sometimes we talk about peace as a gift that we can receive, whether it's a gift from God in the birth of Jesus, just looking ahead a little, or whether it's a gift of someone that someone else offers, something that's somehow inexplicable, but we're allowed to enjoy in some way. But what if, instead of thinking of peace as a noun, as a state, we think of it as a practice? As something that we do, that we practice, knowing that sometimes we will get stuck in that elevator partway to where we want to go, but trying anyway. A practice, something that we do. In our book study group this fall, we read a book by Lillian Daniels called Tired of Apologizing for a Church I Don't Belong to. And in it, she talks about our society's appreciation, understanding of the importance of practice when we talk about sports. Right? Sports teams need practice. Hockey teams, soccer teams, baseball teams, they have practices, they try their different moves, they spend time on the ice or in the park or in the tennis courts, going over and over the actions and the values and the possibilities and the teamwork. We understand the importance of practice when we think about sports. And we understand the importance of practice when we think about music. The hours of rehearsals, the extra hours of rehearsals, getting ready for the Lessons and Carols concert tonight, the time spent playing scales and arpeggios before we can confidently play a piece. It takes that time and commitment, that work put into it, to get something of value back. So Daniel says, we understand the idea of practice when we talk about sports, when we talk about music, and yet often we don't see that same value when we talk about our faith, when we talk about religion. But in religion, there are many ways that we practice, and one of them is this, right here, right now. It's worship. It's a time when we come and we practice being guided by the values that we think matter, paying attention to that divine light, that divine voice within us and within each other. It's a time when we practice getting along with people that we don't usually see or might find a little bit annoying sometimes. It's a time when we practice by listening to the stories that we think matter, by singing together, which once again is about listening to each other, and trying whether or not we're any good, a time when we practice. And so we think about peace as a practice, something that we spend a bit of time working on, that we spend time working on here each week during the most of the year as we light the Christ candle, which we call the candle of peace. And we remind ourselves about why and how peace matters. We remind ourselves of where in the world peace is needed, where in our own lives and our own relationships peace is needed. And we recommit ourselves to that work. Peace as a practice. We know we will get stuck, that it's not an easy task. We hope we won't break down 47 times in the year, but we might. That's less than once a week, after all. Yesterday, Neil and I visited my parents, and we had a baking day. We needed to get some baking done for the Lessons and Carols service tonight, and a little bit of baking for the neighbors. We had a really lovely time. But by the end of the day, we'd been there longer than planned, and we were tired. I was tired. Neil was tired. I was hungry. We missed the bus that we wanted. And then the next bus was too full, so it just drove by. So we're standing there in the night, getting close to bedtime. For Neil, at least, although for me, too. Oh, it's easy in that moment to feel frustrated, to feel upset, feel stressed, to think about everything else that is wrong as well. And then I thought, well, I am preaching about peace tomorrow. So maybe this is a good time to practice, to refocus on what had been accomplished, the time spent, the people that matter, the relative insignificance of another 5 minutes or 10 minutes to wait for the bus. Just to take a few moments to walk up and down on the sidewalk and listen to the night and hope Neil will calm down a little bit. To focus on what matters. How do we practice peace? One of the ways that we do that is in meditating and prayer, finding time to center and focus, to remember how we're grounded, to remind ourselves of how we're connected with one another. How do we practice peace? One of the ways is in spending time on the relationships that are life-giving, either for us or for others, to remind ourselves about what matters. How do we practice peace? One of the ways is finding new relationships, seeing the value in people that we don't usually encounter, recognizing the divine within them as well. How do we practice peace? We do this in small ways. We do this in our activism, in our letter writing, in the charities and organizations that we support that help foster peace in our communities, in our country, and in our world. We practice peace. We don't get it right every time. And so part of our practice is forgiveness, forgiving ourselves for our mistakes, for our harsh words, for the hurt that we cause, and forgiving others for their mistakes, for their harsh words, for the hurts that they cause. Not because they don't matter, but because we say something else matters more. So in this Advent season, as we anticipate the coming of one that we call the Prince of Peace, let us practice peace together. Amen.